Today our scripture reading comes from Genesis, chapter 9, verses 12 through 17. God said, "This is a sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you, for all future generations. I have set in my bow the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on earth. God said to Noah, 'This is a sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on earth.'"
Our second scripture reading comes from Psalm chapters 46, verses 1 through 5, 10 through 11. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in earth. God is with us. God is our river.
Thanks so much to our children who are participating in worship today. I was saying thank you to them ahead of time, and one of them said to me, "This is not the scariest thing I've done." So they got this. It's like so awesome. So thank you again so very much. Would you pray with me and for me? Let us pray. God of love, we do give you thanks this day for your holy and living word, its meaning in our lives today and forevermore. And we ask in these moments now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our salvation. Amen. Well, last week, as we began this sermon series on creation care and climate justice, I began with wildfires, and today we look at floods. And so it's probably no surprise that I just had to use part of the Noah and the Ark story. This story may call to mind memories of your own childhood or thoughts of children. After all, Noah and the animals is a most popular theme for most any church's Sunday school or preschool wing, right? You see the mural painted on the wall. And I remember one book in particular that my parents had when I was growing up about Noah and the Ark. My mother would read it to me, and I remember us sitting side by side on the couch. It talked about all of the animals entering two by two through the door of the Ark. And she would get to the part about the elephants, and it read that the elephants had to squeeze to get in, and she would hug me tight. You might have memories, too, either from your own childhood or other children in your life. Indeed, for those who may not know any better, this story of Noah's Ark might seem like an innocent story about children and animals. But of course, we know better. We know more, right? We know more of this story. If you take the whole of the Noah story, if you are to look at the arc of the story, do you see what I did there? Y'all can moan. I'm joking. I'm cracking myself up. So the arc of the Noah's Ark story, if you look at this story as a whole, you hear the story about how God has become, well, fed up with us. Humans have strayed far from the idyllic Garden of Eden when all was peaceful and loving and kind. As the stories in the book of Genesis continue to unfold, we will see that at every turn, humans are bent on returning to chaos and destruction. There is murder, there is deceit, there is revenge. The stories go on. Even in today's world, we only need to open our newspaper, right, to find these stories, reminding us that humans today often fail to embrace the things of love and peace and harmony. It was in seminary that we analyzed this text alongside another ancient myth called the Gilgamesh flood epic. The other pastors in the room, you've done this, right? So there are other similar stories about a big flood event. And some scholars will go on to tell us their perspective that these stories, like Noah's Ark, were an attempt to explain this flood event. Also, the story of Noah's Ark, I learned, was birthed in a period when in ancient Near Eastern religions, they often depicted the gods at war. In fact, the metaphor of lightning bolts in the sky representing arrows was not uncommon in these religions. So given all of this, friends, it is understandable that some of us wrestle with the whole of this story. It is even understandable to push back at times against an understanding of a God who would destroy most every living thing in order to start over again. But this morning, I'm going to invite you to consider how we, you and I, might be like God. That's right. How might we be like God? You see, in the church, we often shy away from seeing ourselves like God, and I guess that's appropriate at times. After all, it can be heretical to see ourselves as full of wisdom and infinite in knowledge and all the things. But consider it. In the scriptures, we often ask ourselves, where do we see ourselves in this story? Read the parable. Are you the lost sheep? Are you the disciple who doubts? Are you the prodigal child or the older sister? I was asked those kinds of questions all in my growing up years, but never did I have a pastor ask me to consider how I might be like Jesus or God in the story. Again, it might sound heretical, but after all, the very Bible tells us that we as humans are created what? In the image of God. So more to the point, I can admit that I have sympathy. I can understand God's decision to just want to wipe the slate clean, to try and start again. Have you ever worked on a project and felt like you just wanted to scrap it all and start over? We might see children, young children, building a tower, for example, with blocks, and something gets misplaced, and it's not exactly like they had in mind, and so out of frustration, they just knock the whole tower down. Or consider a student. Many students in the house are college students working on your final exams, writing an assignment, and getting so upset with it, you just crumple up the paper and toss it into the waste paper basket. You want to start over. Again, I think I can sympathize with God wanting to start over again. Let's consider environmental concerns. Faced with the reality of climate change, do any of us feel as if we want to just start over again? Maybe sing that Cher song, if I could just turn back time a few decades. If I could turn back time, maybe next time we could prevent it from all getting so bad. Maybe the temperatures wouldn't be rising quite so drastically. Maybe we could pass common sense policies that would prevent us from getting to where we are today. Maybe there would be fewer coral reefs in danger. Lots in the news about that this last week. If only we could start again. But of course we can't. This is the world that we have as it is. And the realities before us are, well, they are our reality. Temperatures are rising, and therefore sea levels are rising, ice melts, and the sea levels rise. Warm air, I don't know a whole lot about science, but I know that warm air holds more water, and so the rainfalls get heavier, and warmer oceans are putting many of God's creatures in danger. God is making promises to never destroy the earth again. And how about us? Here's the other way that I think we can be like God, that we can love like God. And it's a lesson on what to do with our regret and maybe even our guilt. Instead of more destruction, we make a covenant to love and care for all of God's creation, the entire earth, including all creatures upon it, in the waters and up above in the skies. I want to close with just a couple of things to consider. First, you can be inspired by what is going on in our wider denomination called the United Methodist Church. Yes, that's right. You know, some of us have been prepared and are knowing that the General Conference is going to be convening in Charlotte, North Carolina this next week. They will meet and vote on a variety of legislative topics, and I will be following, and I'm sure some of you will be following, and I will seek to share with you all that I've learned. So I've heard from some colleagues and from other delegates that are going, and kind of as a side, but a very important note, we are feeling optimistic that this body of voters will finally be able to move the denomination forward in removing harmful language from our Book of Discipline. Amen. May it be so. I pray that we will be rejoicing at such a vote, but we know that no matter what, of course, we here at University UMC, we will remain steadfast in our commitment to the inclusion of all LGBTQIA plus persons into the full life of the church. So this is important news that I know we will be following, and I covet your prayers for all of our delegates. But there is additional news at General Conference that I have been following. And part of what I've learned is that there are leaders hoping that other parts of our social principles are changed. Specifically, a section pertaining to the subject of creation care and climate justice. You see, for years in our Book of Discipline, there has been a section called the natural world. And after conversations with people in a variety of countries, remember the United Methodist Church is a global denomination, there was finally an aha. You see, namely the old language in the natural world section, it talked about our caring for creation, but the language seemed to suggest that we were somehow, as humans, apart from creation. Here's what one leader writes specifically. They say the old language talks about our responsibility as if we're not a part of it, but in the new document, we are setting ourselves more within the community of all creation to show our interdependence with the earth. They go on. The community of all creation section begins by describing the dire threats creation is facing at this time, including climate change, overdevelopment, and the use of unsustainable energy sources. The document then goes on to call on Christians to adopt a more sustainable and just lifestyle practice. These revised social principles also acknowledge the ways that unjust environmental policies touch on other social concerns, such as racism, classism, and the historic mistreatment of Indigenous persons. You know, friends, our denomination is doing incredible things. Our global denomination is not perfect, but on the subject of climate change, there is great work being done. In a similar way, the subject of climate change can be overwhelming, but there are good people in so many communities doing incredible work, many of them right here in this sanctuary. Believing that the small things that you are doing can make a difference. It's the second thing I want to leave with you this morning. Believe that the small things that you can do will make a difference. One of my favorite children's writers is Shel Silverstein, and he has that poem that says, all the shoulda, coulda, wouldas ran away and hid from the one little did. In other words, yes, we may live with some regret and even guilt when it comes to this overwhelming topic of climate change, but the key is to do something. and we know what to do. There's so much information out there. There is so much education. Cut down on single-use plastic. That's one thing we can do. If you're not a vegetarian, consider going one or two days without meat. Carpool, take the public transportation when you can. Do what you can do. All the shoulda, coulda, wouldas ran away and hid, one little did. And the doing, of course, is important. But just as important is that one word, little. Start in small ways, commit to a journey, and take your cue from the children in your life. They teach us so much when it comes to caring for creation. Think about it. As young children, the animals were our friends. We had stuffed animals of every type of creature in our hands. We wore those animals on our clothes, on our very clothes. I had bed sheets that were filled with animals on the design. But as we grow older, we move on to celebrities and to other things that we are enamored with. Maybe, just maybe, the story of Noah's Ark is about children and a genuine love for animals after all. Because at the heart of this story is the message of God's love and God's hope for children of all ages, that in the midst of the worst chaos, God is love and God is with us. Amen.